the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tonight, you'll notice Mark Parks is not here. He's out of town this evening. And I'd like a motion to excuse him for this evening.
No, you don't need that.
It's a work session.
Sorry about that. But I think you all may have read in the newspaper, maybe not. He accepted a very wonderful promotion as auditor of Cuyahoga County.
Treasurer.
Treasurer, sorry. And he is going to come next week and share his news, but I wanted to ask, he will have to resign as part of his new duties. And so I wonder if you're all interested in creating a resolution for him. This is something we've done in the past. We didn't do it for Dan Brown, too, and I wonder if we could, by next week, if we wanted to work on two resolutions honoring both of their service over the years. Steve might draw it up for us if you're interested. So, does that sound good? How about to this end?
Is that standard? No, I don't.
It is. It's been something we've done most of the time. I don't know why we didn't do it for Dan. I think we just forgot. So
I think we should then do it.
I think
for Mark maybe as well.
Yeah.
For both Mark and Dan, I would
no,
like.
No, I'm saying for Mark Bram maybe too. Just
Mark,
I mean,
Bram. Did we not do one for Mark Bram?
I thought we did one for Mark Bram.
Just to be fair to everybody, who's, you know.
We can also arrange one for Mark Bram.
No.
We didn't.
And then we can invite them to come if they want to come next week. And somehow, if Mark is here, and he might be giving himself his own resolution, but we'll figure that out. So let's have the law director create three resolutions for Mark Bram too. And what would you like from us?
I need information about accomplishments of each council member.
Great. So length of service is something that, oh, thank you, Mary. I'll do that next. Something that Mary could get us, if possible, the length of service for each of those council people. And then what committees they chaired over the years. Sometimes we put in kind of funny stories, if you have any. Email those to Steve.
Okay.
If you have any. All right. Next, we'll do the roll call, Mary.
Braverman.
Here.
Kluder.
Yes.
Duber.
Yes.
Bonk.
Yes.
Klein.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Parks.
All right, next we have the Honorable Judge Harry J. Jacobs here to give us a presentation tonight. Thank you. If you'll just speak into the microphone, that would be great.
Okay, as most of you know, my name is Harry Jacob. I'm one of two judges at Bedford Municipal Court, and this is part of my community outreach program that we instituted 3 years ago, along with, I hope, most of you got our letter and things of that nature. Basically, once a year, I try to get out to all the council meetings for the 14 communities in our district. Last night, I was telling Stephen that I was at Warrensville Heights for their caucus. I was their caucus from 6:15 to 7 o'clock. I didn't know they were going to do this, but I gave my usual presentation that I'm going to give to you folks. And then they asked me questions for 40 minutes, and it was,
wow.
It's like going back to law school, Herb, in a way, because some of the stuff I had to reach back deep in the recesses of my mind to find an answer. Basically, the court is doing well. I've been there now a little more than 3 years. As I said in my letter to you, we for the third year in a row, have been in the black, which is a record for the court. It's the first time ever that they've had 3 years in a row without having a deficit situation. Judge Melling is our presiding judge. Under his leadership, we're doing well. Some of you know he's been ill for the last year. He's coming back. He's in physical therapy. Last summer, it was a little touch and go. We didn't know if actually, if he was gonna make it, but he's back on his feet, and he's working half days and doing well. So we're happy to see him back and doing as well as he is. He's getting a little feisty. He wants to fight with the city of Bedford all the time because that's our funding authority that we have to deal with for administrative measures. And I said the other, about a week or two ago, I said, Brian, you're feeling better. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, you're mad. You're all ticked off because you want to go down and talk to the mayor of Bedford and see about this issue on our health insurance for our employees. So things are going well at the court. We have a wonderful relationship with your prosecutor and your police department, with Mr. Byron, not so much, but I see him too often when I go out to these council meetings. The court is there to serve the 14 communities and the constituents that we have. As many of you know, it's a very diverse district. We go from Sugarland Falls into Warrensville Heights, Bedford Heights, all those communities, from Sugarland Boulevard south pretty much, and Warrensville Heights 271 east to the county lines. It's a big area, very diverse both ethnically and financially, and we have to be responsive to all of the various communities as well as their constituents. And as you know, in Orange, you have a great diversity between your constituents. So we have to be cognizant of that and deal with each individual as an individual as they come in front of us. We've had some tragedies. Just recently, we had the mother that was killed with her children. That individual that was the defendant in that matter is sent downtown on a number of felonies. I set his bond very high. It's the first time I've ever set $1 million bond, but four lives were taken, and unfortunately, that occurred in the city of Bedford. We don't see a lot of that type of criminal activity, thank God. Most of our stuff that we see is a lesser of, amount. We do see the felonies that come through on probable cause determinations. We expect within the next 3 or 4 months, Lieutenant, to be doing preliminary hearings again at the municipal court level. About 4 years ago, the county prosecutor got a pilot project through the Supreme Court to streamline the felony process, and they bypassed the municipal court preliminary hearings. Unfortunately, in streamlining that, they streamlined some of the constitutional guarantees out of the process, and they're slowly being put back, and one of them is the right to have bond set within a certain period of time, which they just lost a federal lawsuit down downtown. The county prosecutor just signed a week ago, I believe, a consent agreement. And so those preliminary hearings and setting bonds and things of that nature are going to be once again done at the municipal court level. We expect that to happen sometime this summer. So that's a few of the things that are happening in our court. If anybody has any questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer them. If not, thank you very much for allowing me to be here once again, and I appreciate the working relationship we have with your administration, Mayor, and if anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them. Nope.
I'd just like everyone to know that all of the Orange Village cases do go before Judge Jacobs because of our prosecutor's relationship with the other judge, so he knows all of them.
Orange's judge, basically, because Judge...
For those who don't know, he's his brother.
Yeah, Judge Melling's brother is your prosecutor, so Judge Melling feels it would be a conflict to hear any cases. Yeah. Well, thank you again for having me.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Ed?
Question is, what can, not necessarily our community, but the body politic do to help the courts be more efficient, to operate better? I mean, is there anything that we could do or you think needs to be done, maybe not at our level, but to help the system?
Boy, to help the system.
You guys do it better than any other municipal court. I do a lot of criminal defense stuff as well, and you guys do it better than
any other
municipality. So.
Mr. Day is our clerk of courts. He's been there for over 25 years, and he runs a very good court. That's one of the reasons we've been in the black. For the last 3 years. The other reason is because I like to fine people, I think. I'd rather fine people than jail them, if I can. People put in jail can't work, and jail is really a last ditch thing. Now, what can the body politic do to fix the situations?
Or improve it. I mean, from what you're telling me, it's not broken. Improve. I mean.
I'm not saying it's not broken, Ed.
Okay.
You know, we see some people that have no hope. We see some people that have been generations without employment. And I know the lawyers here can sympathize with that. There's some people that, for example, I believe that I should use community service as much as possible. I'm only allowed to sentence someone to 40 hours of community service per month. Now, my feeling, and I had an argument with Judge Melling and Mr. Day about this about 2 months ago, my feeling is I should be allowed to sentence them to 40 hours a week of community service so they get used to getting up and going to work. Unfortunately, the rules are I'm not allowed to do that. I can only do 40 hours a month. Well, unfortunately, some of these people have never had to be at some place at 8 in the morning. And if you don't get into that type of habit, they're never going to be gainfully employed. And that's the thing. I'm the little Dutch boy with my finger in the dike sometimes. You feel that way? Because some of these individuals we see over and over and over again, not all of them, for the most of our constituents of the 14 communities, they never see a courtroom, thank God. But some of them we see all the time. And the societal reasons for that are more than you and I can fix, although we'd like to try sometimes. I hope I answered your question.
Just one question. Is the 40 hours that you're restricted a function of state law?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my hands are tied.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? If not, thank you very much for allowing me to be here.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
All right, I'd like to remind everybody to use your microphones so that the meeting is able to be recorded. If you tend to lean back, like maybe moving your microphone up more towards you, would be helpful for our clerk and for those who'd like to listen to our meetings. Next on the agenda is a presentation that's not happening tonight.
Next week.
Thank you, Mayor.
Wait, do you have the amended agenda?
Lieutenant Nick DeChico will be talking about the new dispatch center proposal next week. We'll be talking about next week is ordinance number 2013-2, an ordinance amending existing chapter 721 peddlers of the codified ordinances of Orange Village by enacting a new chapter 721 peddlers and canvassers and repealing certain ordinances.
I'm not sure we will see it the third reading next week. We have not had the meetings that we set out to do.
So this was referred to safety. That was going to be my question.
Yes, I spoke with the law director, and I spoke a little bit, and I spoke with the police chief a bunch about this, and you know, we discussed it a little bit the other day. My opinion is I don't think it is an ordinance that can necessarily pass as it is written. I think the scope of it is, I think it's very difficult to make this a working ordinance. The police chief agreed with me on this. There's certain situations where this ordinance might be beneficial to the community, but I think it's almost too difficult to properly tailor this ordinance. And again, based on the opinion of the other council members and you know, even the police chief, you know, the safety committee, a la me, you know, I don't know if it's something that we should go forward with at this time.
Okay, great. So it sounds like you're going to continue to work on it, and maybe next month we can talk about it.
Well,
if
council's going to defeat it, go ahead. But we talked about this in the staff meeting, and I don't really know. You know, Chief Castura is not here. He'll be here next week, I think. But in the staff meeting, he does think this ordinance solves a problem that he thinks exists, and that's why he promoted it. What difficulties are in the ordinance may be challenges, but He only suggested it because he thinks there's a safety concern that it addresses. But if council doesn't want to pass it.
And I don't disagree with that.
If council's not going to pass it, save him the effort of going to the meetings that he's planning to do.
And that's the discussion that me and the police chief had was, you know, not, and it's not that it doesn't, you know, attempt to solve a problem, and, you know, obviously it's phenomenal intentions. However, it's more of an impossibility of tailoring this properly at this point in time that, and he understands the difficulty in doing this.
Question for the law director. I had a personal issue with this last week, and I don't know where I stand with it. as most people know, it was Passover last week, and I had a seder at my house, and just before everybody showed up, two young men showed up at my door with a badge on, and it said Jesus on it, and they were proselytizing, and I had a really difficult time trying to shake them off. They wouldn't go away. They really wouldn't go away, and they were trying to give me literature, and I kept on saying, no, you're not paying attention. This is not a good time, besides which I'm of a different faith, and I'm respectful of yours. Please be respectful of mine. But where would this leave me? I mean, would I have any teeth? I mean, what would I do if they absolutely wouldn't go?
Well, two things. One is, under the current law, if you tell somebody to get off your property and they don't, you should call the police immediately.
Okay.
So that's step number one. The existing law of trespassing is still on the books.
Okay.
And if you tell somebody to get off your land and they don't, the police will come and help you with that.
Okay.
I think the lieutenant will back me up on that one.
Okay, that was
judge.
and the judge as well. We don't want him to judge a case before he has facts in front of him, though. The other thing is the folks who oppose these ordinances, who are, they're basically two sets of folks. One is Ohio public citizen, which is political. Another is the folks who pass out literature, as you're describing. They often challenge these types of ordinances. I think they take the position that a no solicitor's sign does not apply to them.
Yeah.
I think they're wrong.
Okay.
And we would, that's one of the questions that would come up is, does that expose some risk if we seek to enforce that issue with someone? I think as a realistic matter, we wouldn't be prosecuting the first people who did this. We've set this up in other communities where the police have standing instructions to advise them as to the state of the law in the community. And where a no-knock list has been put together, they're given that list at the first contact with the officers. So there's a way administratively to give notice to people that in this community, no solicitors means nobody. Whether you do that or not is a different question. I mean, you do have the policy question of how broadly this is. I think there are ways to narrowly tailor the issue to protect the First Amendment rights. Whether you do that or not is going to be a policy question that council needs to address. In terms of the practical implementation, what the chief and I would probably be doing is meeting with Ohio Public Citizen just to hear their position on the issue.
Thank you.
And there you go.
Process at the end of the day, it's going to be a police action that's going to be when this solicitor, even if you have a do not knock sign on your front door, the solicitor may not go away until such time as the police come and remove them. So what does the law, what would the law change relative to that action?
The difference is if they come to the door and there's a sign on the door that says, do not knock, or whatever it says. Maybe a hand with an X through it, I don't know. But whatever the sign is, the act of knocking at the door then would be the violation, as opposed to you say go away and they don't. At that point, they could be in violation and subject to arrest.
Okay.
So it changes the timeline of when they're intruding on your property right to exclude them from your residence.
I mean, in theory, it would probably just stop them I guess the goal is to stop them from even knocking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but
been lovely.
Again, we come into the whole problem of, you know, where do we put these signs? How do we put the signs with, you know, we have five or so developments, you know, that have homeowners associations. How does that work? Do you put it with the whole association? Do you put it on the person's property? But the person's like, my front yard isn't actually owned by me. It's not my front yard. It's common space. So do I put it on the outside wall, but I actually don't own the outside wall, you know? And so, you know, there's all these issues that come up, and that's why I think that's part of the difficulty that we have here in this, is that this will have to go through all the homeowners associations. And, you know, if we as a body, I think, go ahead and pass this, I think there's still, you know, issues that are going to come about with what is the homeowners association going to do. And, you know, and what it comes down to eventually is the person can still come up to your door and they can knock. I mean, this doesn't put a force field on your door. And the same action, you're right, Mr. Klein, the same action would happen, that you call the police and they remove the person. And so I think, you know, what we discussed, me and the police chief, was how many times does this actually happen a year? And the amount of times that it happens is minimal. Now, that doesn't make it so that these times it does happen, that it's okay, but to pass a law as to, you know, again, can they do it on Saturdays? Can they do it on Sundays? Well, you know, the Jews in our, you know, in our neighborhood are going to say one thing, and the Christians are going to say another thing. And so, you know, there's a whole bunch of these issues here that I think is just another difficulty in us properly tailoring this ordinance. So,
I mean, one of the issues I think is interesting is if you don't put up one of these no solicitation signs that our ordinance would authorize, if you will, are you saying that you're available for this? That is to say, now if someone comes up to your door and knocks on your door, are they going to use the statute, the ordinance, to protect themselves and say, well, you know, you didn't have this sign up that everybody else has, so we assume that we're here? I mean, I know that they can still call, you can, they're still trespassing, but in Orange, they're going to be well onto your property before they either see or don't see a sign if it's somewhere, you know, against your house. I mean, some houses are far enough back that they'll be, there could be potential problems there. I think that I agree with Brandon, the operation of the proposed ordinance, while it might be fine-tuned enough to be constitutional, I'm not even sure about that in some respects, but let's assume it is. I'm just not sure. I mean, is this much ado about nothing is my question. If there's not enough, not a frequency of such situations in Orange or anywhere else for that matter, but let's say in Orange, if there's not many of these happening, then I'm not sure why we want to plaster all of our homes with a little sign that says no soliciting. I mean, I don't think that's very attractive.
Thank you. Mr.
So
Bonk?
Forth.
Is there any defect that in the state trespassing law that this will address or fix?
A defect?
I mean, we have the state trespassing laws, which are probably much more severe penalties. Is there anything that our ordinance is going to address that the state trespassing ordinance?
Yes. Yes. If
I put up a sign, no trespassing.
Well, trespassing, I mean, that's a legal conclusion as to whether or not you're on the property against the property owner's wishes. I don't know if these solicitors observe those signs or not.
But we would
have a specific ordinance that relates to the do not knock that some communities have had. The West Side communities are in litigation over largely over the time, the timing issue, and also over whether or not it's applicable to the religious organizations.
And maybe
yes, it would change the dynamics of when somebody knocks.
If I put up a no trespassing sign.
You put
sign
up a no trespassing sign.
They walk up to my property. Can they be charged under state law?
I think you probably could.
Then why are we trying to go beyond that or less than that? I mean, is the penalty greater with the state trespassing? Potentially,
but in theory, I mean, you don't even need a no trespassing sign. I mean, you know, whether there's a sign that says you're not allowed on my property or whether you come onto my property without a sign, in theory, it's still trespassing. However, there's, you know,
you have to have
First
notice.
Amendment.
No, you have to have notice that you're not welcome on the property in order to make out a case for trespass. One of the elements of the offense, trust me on this one, one of the elements of the offense is notice
to the person who's coming on the property that they aren't permitted on.
Right, but I'm saying if somebody came outside and said, you have to leave, and they stay, it's, yeah.
That's trespassing at that point, right?
How far along is the lawsuit on the west side?
Oh, I think they just, within the last month and a half or 2 months.
So do we wait, maybe?
Yeah.
I think.
You could wait.
I mean, maybe we wait and see where that goes before we go ahead and consider it.
The last time there was.
Last time we waited.
There was a case going on in southern Ohio, and we waited on that too. And you know, each of these cases does provide additional guidance. So we will know more after they decide that case. So if you don't want to take that risk.
Table.
But I guess Mr. Bonk had made had mentioned something to the chief about somebody who came to your house.
Oh, I just told him to leave.
And now we have another councilwoman who has had somebody come to their house. If you don't think it's a problem, that's absolutely your.
I mean, I explained to him very briefly that he was leaving.
Right.
And if he wasn't, the police were going to assist him.
Right, so I think though it's really important to have our police chief here to also weigh in, because this came from him in the first place. I think it's really important to hear his side. So I think we should extend these conversations to next week when he's present, and we can get some answers from the other side too. Mayor, did you have anything?
Well, I'm going to advise him not to spin his wheels and spend time having meetings. We all have plenty to do without having meetings for something that's for no purpose.
I already did discuss that with him to just kind of hold off on it for now.
Well, I bet your conversation happened before our staff meeting.
Oh, it was right after the meeting the other day. Okay.
All right, and
a month ago?
I'm sorry, the last council meeting, correct?
So the staff meeting sort of superseded that in my instruction to tell us, if you believe in this and you put it there for a good reason, then you have to see it through and do all the things you have to do to make your case.
We obviously don't have enough information, so.
And he agreed, but I'm not going to have him bother if you guys aren't passing it. But I absolutely told him he has to present why he thought it was in the best interest.
Let me just ask one last question of Steve. Do you think it gives the, our police department a better, you know, better standing to go into any given situation? Does it change that at all, really?
If you have an ordinance and a sign, I think you're taking steps that set the context for the contact between the police officer and the guys on the property. So I'd rather have that than the situation where the property owner says, I told him to leave and they didn't leave, and the guy says, I was on my way away when she called the police. And I didn't want to run away thinking that they're, you know, who knows what they'll say.
Yeah, I know.
But if you have these things lined up ahead of time, you've set the context for the conversation between the police officer and the people who are visiting.
So you think the ordinance at least does that?
I think it's helpful.
If the person has a sign on their window or wherever.
And the other value of it, remember, is it assembles the list for the village. So after there's an initial contact with the person, the officers can give this guy a list and say, these are the people that don't want to talk to you.
And you're losing sight of, I think, one other thing it addresses. It takes away from having the miscellaneous solicitors that might not really be solicitors, the magazine salespeople, the people that are roaming the neighborhoods. It gives us a reason to have get their information.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is there a way to maybe just compile a list with names that, you know, I guess if send a memo out to the community, you know, and say if you don't want to have solicitors, you know, you could join this list, and then at that point we can give the list to,
without,
you know, those
ordinance.
Several groups without the ordinance.
Oh, I didn't like this.
And, you know, that might be something, because these groups want to be able to come to the community without a problem, and that might...
The problem with that is, if you're going to try to regulate someone's conduct in response to the list and have it be enforceable, you have to publish notice of what the conduct is that you're prohibiting. And so without an ordinance, a list is not anything that has...
I know it's not necessarily enforceable in any way, but again, these, you know, a lot of these groups want to be able to come into the community and canvass and do their thing, and, you know, obviously they like it to be peaceful as well. They don't want to go ahead and get arrested. For the most part, the bigger groups who are more organized. And I think they might actually take some consideration into that if they're given a list of the addresses that, you know, look, these people don't want you there. they might go ahead and take some consideration into that in order to make their, you know, time canvassing the neighborhoods easier. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just, I guess I'm making a broad assumption.
Let me ask you one last question. I mean, just how likely, in your opinion, as our law director, obviously, how likely is it that an ordinance of this type will be challenged in a formal setting? I mean, is this going to, I mean, do you have a sense that they're out there waiting like we're on the west side, or what are we talking about here?
I think that's one of the values. I mean, when we talked about delaying this and having the conversation with Ohio Public Citizen or Public Action, one of the things that I wanted to do was see where the soft points were that they were going to push on. So I think there's value to soliciting their input if they're the regulated party, having that conversation with them. So I wouldn't recommend passing this unless we have that conversation first.
But I'm saying let's not bother with the conversation if they're going to defeat it.
Well, and maybe the answer to the question has an impact on whether or not the
passes
or not.
I think
so.
It'd be,
I mean, it's I don't want to get into a chicken and egg.
Well, no, I mean, but part of the problem there is, you know, if the real impact on the village of this issue we're discussing, solicitors and peddlers and so forth, is minimal. If it's minimal, then the risk of going having be taken to court and having to defend an ordinance that isn't doing that much for us is undesirable. I mean, just on the basis of cost, shall we say, and aggravation and so on and so forth. So if we, you know, if we can clear the air a little bit,
I can tell you that for one of the religious organizations in one of the other communities, they requested a copy of the ordinance. Their legal counsel, who's represented him in the U.S. Supreme Court, requested a copy of that ordinance. It's not the same as this ordinance. I sent it to him. They went away. They didn't make noise about it because it was respectful of their rights under the First Amendment. We'd try to do the same thing here.
All right. I think we can bring this conversation up again next week and see what we're going to do then. All right, next week we're also going to see ordinance number 2013-4, an ordinance determining restaurants to be a similar, harmonious, and compatible Use 7 district use and granting a special use permit to Great Expectations, LLC, for the property located at Chagrin Boulevard. This is on for third reading next week, and Planning and Zoning unanimously passed this on the March 5th meeting. And we're also planning on having a public hearing on April 10th. First thing. Does anybody have anything to speak about for this ordinance?
Well, my concern, I'm supporting this, but my big concern still is for patrons who are going to use the restaurant. I'm still concerned how they're going to get out easily after having been stuck, not sort of at rush hour, on Chagrin today with nobody letting me out at all. I was just wondering, how in the world are these patrons going to get out of that restaurant?
Orange Place. Unlike the other strips along Chagrin Boulevard, there is a signaled.
But will they just turn, how are they going to get out of the actual space logistically to get back
onto
the site? The way that the site is laid out, there is a direct access south of the gas station that allows them to access Orange Place.
Okay.
And it won't take long for them to direct their customers to do that.
Okay.
It will give them much easier. Obviously, a right turn out off on the Chagrin Boulevard is not a problem. it's the left turn.
Oh, yeah.
It's an absolute challenge.
Yeah. Going towards
Orange Place.
Did they was that discussed at the PNC and to the point of where they know they're going to have a traffic control plan?
comments? No questions? Okay. Moving on, next we'll be discussing 2013-5 as amended, an ordinance granting a rear yard variance to KSI Management for property located at 210 East Orange Hill Circle. This will be on for second reading. I see it's been referred to and come back from planning and zoning. It looks like it was a unanimous yes vote for this. Mayor, can you give us any more information about this variance?
I'd be happy to, but I bet Judd can do it better.
Okay, great. Mr. Klein.
Thank you, Mayor. This property was reviewed and discussed by Planning Commission. The issue is the ability to create an addition on the back of an existing home. There are some practical difficulties which result in a hardship because of the physical shape of the property. There is an angled backyard where the backyard was straight across. There wouldn't be a need for a variance. In addition, there is the adjacency is a detention pond for the development. So there's no direct neighbor being impacted by this the addition. The encroachment itself is very minimal. It's a triangle shaped, approximately 7.5 feet in each direction, so such that there's no place else on the site to locate this addition to provide them the opportunity to expand the house to accommodate their physical needs that they are looking to facilitate by the addition. So the hardship results in the inability to do it because of a practical difficulty with the property configuration.
Sometimes we have letters from their neighbors not objecting. Did we?
Yes, they're not only there is no, as I said, there is no immediate neighbor affected by this, but the homeowners association has looked at it and submitted a letter of support.
Okay,
and all neighbors within, I think it's 600 feet, were given notice of its request and that it would be heard last night.
That's great. So it's on for second reading next week, and we will look at voting on this in May.
Yeah, I would recommend that we set a public hearing for May 8th at 8 p.m.
Okay, Mary?
Good.
Great. All right, next, new business. We've got ordinance number 2013-6, an ordinance approving the application of Joseph A. Dubiak and Kristen P. Dubiak for placement of land in an agricultural district. This is on for first reading. As you, those who've been here in years before, I don't remember how many times this has come up, but I'm guessing this is my third time.
Yeah.
It's a renewal.
Deja vu.
Right, the renewal of an agricultural district.
How did the first two go?
The first two passed, I think, unanimously, but...
Yeah, the two things on this. One is the county auditor has made the determination that it's correct. There's no change of facts that are known that would warrant a denial. And there's actually a shot clock that the council's under to act within 30 days. So the recommendation would be that you pass it next week, suspend the rules, and pass it.
Is that why there's a public hearing?
That the schedule, public hearing was scheduled for next week, yeah.
So, we will have this on the agenda. We'll ask to suspend the rules and...
Why does the county even have the community do it if they make the determination and the community
do we have
is
anything
irrelevant?
Is it something in writing that we get from them, or?
Yes.
I've never seen that, I don't think.
Why does the community even have to be involved in this?
Because that's what the statute says.
Is anybody interested in a copy of this for next week to see from the county?
Do they make a finding of fact or just a conclusion?
Did you add that in our packet?
It's basically a conclusion. There's data submitted that they've met. There's a certain sales requirement. It's not very big.
No.
Okay, great. Moving on, ordinance number 2013-7, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into agreement with the with ODOT and to take any other action necessary to participate in bulk purchasing of road salt for next year's winter season.
We're going to ask council to suspend next week and pass it, because if we're going to participate, they have to be advised. Oh, May 1st?
Okay, I have a question about this. We were in a different consortium a few years ago, or is it just the name change?
It's the only one we've been in as long as I've been mayor.
Okay, great. So I wondered if we switched.
Well, now, I don't mean to interrupt, but this says that we have to have a public hearing on the application, huh?
It's advertised.
And then we have 30 days to act.
You mean the previous ordinance?
Yeah, the problem is the timing.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Next is ordinance number 2013-8, an ordinance authorizing Woodbrand Realty to provide sanitary sewer service to the property owned by Joel Van Properties, LLC, located at 3855 Brainerd Road. Any questions, comments about this? This is just going to be on for first reading. I don't think we have a rush to pass this.
Well, the only timing is that they'd like to get under construction. I'm not saying it. I mean, we may suspend or do two readings in May if necessary. I don't know what their construction timeline is, but we've done this before where there's sanitary sewer service available, but we don't want to. This doesn't reserve our right to access, does it?
Right, because it's already in front of them.
So it's really just a right, it's just so that they can cut into our right of way and tie into the sanitary sewer that exists. And if it exists, I think they're obligated to tie into it anyways.
If they were to receive a notice.
If their septic failed, well, they're supposed to tie in anyways.
Does this mean any revenue for the village?
None. We didn't pay for this line. We don't own this line.
Okay.
It's really because they're near the Woodmere border, and the line was extended down to Waterford. All we're doing is really letting them cut into the roadway and connect.
And where is this house?
It's near the Waterford Woodmere line.
Okay, so it's right past the Woodmere line?
Well, it's in Orange Village.
Yes.
But it's right,
we inspect the work, and then they repay us for the inspection and so forth?
They have to put a deposit down. They don't repay us. They put the money up front.
Well, whatever. I mean, if they pay for it.
It's no cost to the village.
Yeah.
And this is something.
Is that in addition to the bond, or is that part of the bond?
This makes clear that whatever the cost the village incurs as a consequence of this, they're responsible.
They got a road opening permit fee.
The village collects a bond anyway.
They're going to have to. They're going to cut the road, Brainerd? Or are they going to?
I don't know which side.
Well, it's Waterford Court is on the west side, and this address is on the east side.
I don't know that the main doesn't cut across. I don't know which side of the street the main's on. It's possible that the main was brought down for Woodbrand purposes on the east side, and they cut across for Waterford.
It's possible.
It's possible it's on the west side.
Possible it's on the west side. The point is, whatever it costs to correct whatever harm they cause, they got to bear the
and repair the road and put back to normal.
Is there a traffic issue at all? I mean, they're obligated to maintain traffic, aren't they, on Brainerd?
They would. If there's so if there were a special detail for police, they'd have to bear that cost as well. That's a pre-construction thing that would be managed through the engineer's office and coordinating with police.
Mrs. Plutus?
Do we have three reading rule on this? Are we gonna suspend? Do we have to suspend?
No, actually, this has to go to planning and zoning.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the provision of a utility.
And then the mayor said she thinks.
I'll know better. I don't know.
We may put two readings in 1 month, but we'll see.
Well, I just know that Mary was very surprised that they had to go through a two-month, three-month, three-reading process. And I asked her what their timeline was, and she said that she didn't know they were out of town when we discussed it. So maybe today she knows that answer. I just don't know that answer, what their timeline is. But it would be silly to hold them up from tying them in if we don't have to.
It's still gonna take at least 1 month to go planning and zoning, come back and push this through, so.
Right. And there is no planning and zoning before next week, so.
Do we know if there is a problem with their septic system that's operating right now?
I can find out, but I don't know that it matters. When there's a sanitary sewer line in front of your home, state law requires you tying in.
Well, it's just a matter of time.
If their septic system failed, and I could find out, but I'm not even curious, but I mean, I don't know why you'd need to know, but if their septic system failed, and they've been cited by the County Board of Health, and instead of replacing it, they're tying in.
Well, I think Mr. Klein's comment refers to, like, maybe that gives us more incentive to do this faster than the three readings if they're polluting the world.
Gotcha.
If there's a problem.
Right.
But we can't do it by next week because we don't have planning and zoning.
Right. So it'll still be.
And you haven't had first reading yet, so.
So we couldn't have had it at planning and zoning. So we can't do it before May. And we'll decide whether we wanna make a meeting in the first week and get it done, or suspend on the second week.
Okay. Next is audience comments relating matters that advance the village. Please come to the microphone and state your name and address, even though we know you very well.
David Paulus on Jackson Road. Last Friday, we had a major fire on Jackson Road, which virtually gutted a house. And Chief Wilson and his crew did a great job because the flames were virtually gutted the whole house. The real question I have here is that, is there anything, I realize the village can't do something directly, but to help the family out that has been burned out, maybe I'm not familiar with how to do all these things, but maybe something should be looked into that could help this family out. Because the house is virtually destroyed. So, I don't know if everybody knew about it, but the helicopters woke people up.
Are you speaking monetarily?
I don't know. I read in the paper sometimes groups or people or churches. I realize the village can't do something directly, but maybe someone knows some way.
Well, we have Orange Cares. Yeah. you know, the chief has been counseling them too. I went by there the next day, and they were taking things out of their house in a garbage can, you know, trying to salvage what they could. I do you have a specific suggestion other than letting our professionals?
Were they insured?
I do. From my experience working in the hospital, American Red Cross usually responds to these situations. If they're unaware of it, I would highly recommend them to call the American Red Cross. They often help people find a new place to live that's affordable. They'll help with furniture and clothes and things like that.
I was just throwing it out there in case anybody knew of a way to do it.
Yeah, David, why don't you call American Red Cross?
Wonderful to see people care for our neighbors like that. And then if there's anything else, Mrs. Cluter, you can think about with your committee.
One of our employees had a fire, I believe, in her kitchen and lost her home, but it was dealt through the insurance company. You know, it wasn't, somehow the insurance company set them up in a temporary dwelling somehow for months. So I don't know if that would work either. You know, assuming they have any homeowners insurance. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm just was thrilled that morning to hear that nobody was injured, and job well done. Thank you to our fire department and police department.
And the six other communities that came to help our.
Really?
Was it on Jackson?
Six.
I thought it was on Hilltop.
At the intersection of Jackson and South Hilltop. On the north east corner.
I know it by the old Henry house, but it's probably.
Thank you. I received, I don't know if everybody else did, the Pinecrest proposal. Thank you very much for getting it to me, because I couldn't make the actual planning and zoning meeting where there was a presentation. And I'm wading through it. I'm bending Judd's ear and saying, yes, now what? It's interesting. But we will have time to discuss this, I assume, once it goes to planning and zoning.
Of course.
Well, in May, you're going to be given the first draft of the zoning code ordinance, and you're going to have months to discuss it all.
Okay, okay. But, I mean, is the goal to get this on the November ballot? Is that the goal?
That's their goal, and we're trying to react to that. And if nothing trips it up along the way or puts up a roadblock or causes us to... I mean, it's going to be up to council whether to put it on the ballot. The administration is working with them to get it so that you can make that determination in time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your goal is the ballot November, which means it has to be passed here in July.
Okay.
You know, everyone's working on that timeline.
And, oh, I see that Judge Jacob is still here. Thank you so much for coming. It's always nice to see, you know, a judge who's taken the time to tell us what's going on. I appreciate that.
And
thank
stay.
You. Yeah. That's all.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Klein.
Thank you. With regards to the Pinecrest development, we've begun in the Planning Commission looking at the development of the zoning ordinances that will be applied to this project. It will be done with a great deal of care and concern, focusing on a number of critical issues, the value to the community and the value of the neighbors' homes and properties adjacent, and balancing those two to the best interest of the community and those of the neighbors. We've been working on language for the zoning ordinance. The Planning Commission had an introduction last night of the draft ordinance that will be ultimately reviewed by this body for approval prior to any kind of legislative action that would take place on it or going to the electorate. So there's a lot of work yet to be done on this. Nothing has been approved in any way at this point. It has only been looked at and considered, and there's a lot of work yet to be done to make this project all that it can be. And I think that's the ultimate goal, is making this project something that is meaningful for Orange Village, reflects the values of the community, and enhances the properties that it adjoins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Klein.
That's my story, I'm sticking to it.
Great, thank you. Mr. Duber?
The only thing I want to say is, you know, I guess there was a article in the paper about us passing the initial funding for the study for the multi-use trails. And I received actually a lot of feedback from just walking around seeing people and a couple phone calls, mostly people that I've never met and I didn't really know, and everybody seemed excited about it and are glad that the issue has been brought back up. So I haven't heard anything negative yet. So.
Yet is the key there.
Yet, but you know, but it was a lot, you know, it's interesting. It seems like people are excited about, you know, the prospects of it, so.
I don't be crossing that article, but I will tell you the third graders I met with today were pretty happy about it.
Oh, good.
And they wanted to know if they could vote.
I think their vote should
eventually
count for 10 votes, but.
Maybe seven of them could split a vote or something like that. No.
Thank you, Mr.
Six
Duber.
Of them, six of
Mr.
them, excuse
Bond,
me. Yeah,
do
well.
Do you have any comments?
No comment.
Thank you, Mr. Braverman.
No, I was going to thank the judge and express my appreciation for his being here this evening, but other than that, no comments.
Great. Comments by the mayor?
Actually made the agenda, huh?
Yes, thankfully. I would have forgotten.
Just to follow up, I did go to a third grade class today up at Moreland Hill School, and the sidewalks are always a hot topic there. But they asked if we could change the rules to make the voting age younger. And I think I gave them the wrong answer. I told them that wasn't within our control and that was decided by a higher level government. But then I went home and I was reading news, and there is a community I think in Maryland, that the local government is going to lower the voting age for municipal issues to the age of 16.
Really?
So maybe we do have say over that. And maybe you do want to consider whether you the difference between being 16 and 18 is, at least in my experience, if you're 18 and you're in college, you don't care what's going on. If you're 16, you're still home and you might have more interest or more awareness. Judging by the third graders, they were almost ready to vote. They knew an awful lot. So I just, you know, it was interesting to me that right after that question was asked, I learned that it is being done in another local level.
Could I just recommend to you that when you're speaking to eight-year-olds who ask that question, you tell them we will do that, but the process will take about 10 years.
I think that's a fascinating topic to look into, because I think it would be really and very interesting to involve younger residents into the whole process of voting.
And it's just for the local issues.
It's only for the municipal issues. I think that's really interesting. I'd like to research that, or have the law director research that for us, on behalf of us, and see if it's even possible.
I bookmarked the article that I was reading on it, so I can retrieve it again.
There are so many young adults who never vote, and I believe so many. No, you don't believe me?
I thought it was more. I thought more people, especially in the last election, the presidential race, I thought more young people were voting.
Most of the young people I talk to don't vote.
Really?
And I think if we could actually kind of capture their interest at a younger age, even if it's just for the municipal stuff, that might be very interesting. So that would probably take us a long time to kind of tweeze through all the issues involved with that, but if Mr. Byron could possibly see what
long-range planning,
what we have.
How do you feel about the drinking age while we're doing the research?
Do we have control over that in Orange Village? I don't know.
Well, next is marijuana, then what's next?
Do you have more comments, Mayor?
Oh, my God, bestiality. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, that's how